Marty.
Let the record show that all members but Ann are in attendance for the finance meeting. Can we get approval of the minutes?
So moved.
Second.
Got a motion on a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? I don't see anyone here for public comment. I don't think. Okay.
I just wanted to mention that, just maybe to refer about this, but early in the month, I deposited $340,000. That was the settlement amount from the Stern AG vendor arbitration case. And I deposited that in the general fund, so that's under the authority of the county board. When I did get the final bill, which is a little bit more than $47,000, I did send an email to Joe and spoke to Alan, and I've requested that that be paid out of the $340,000.
I sent a memo, to Kurt and copied it to the board, giving him instructions. We can't increase his budget in the middle of the year. That's what we have to do, so we requested at the end of the year that we would consider a transfer into his budget for any amount of money that is short. That's the way it has to happen.
Okay. So, well,
we can't write a check out of the general fund. We have to have a...
That. I think that at every meeting I come to, there are changes in the budget. That's quite common, emergency appropriations. And I will say that also, the only reason that I was donating my budget for this cause was that No other entity in the county was willing to pay for this federal arbitration case. But now that we have the money...
Well, it's going to be paid, but we have to do it according to the statutes, whatever that is.
That's right.
I'm not aware.
Can't write checks out of the general fund. It's illegal.
Very good. Okay, moving on. Steve? You ready for your report?
I can, yeah.
Okay.
Everybody should have a copy of the year-end audit. So what I'll do is just kind of flip through this and try and hit some of the highlights, walk you through the document as a brief, or a brief walkthrough. So if you open it up, the first page is our, the introductory section. It's the letter of transmittal from, Rick's office. If you read through that, it discusses the county's responsibility for the information presented in this report. It gives general information about the county.
Excuse me, I don't have a copy.
Oh.
Thank you.
And if you get back to towards the end of that letter, which goes on for about six pages, it does it talks about the GFOA award that this county has received, and we've received, it's received for 24 consecutive years. This report is also being submitted for that award, and then you would see on the next page, Roman numeral 7, that's a copy of the certificate that you received for the prior year in financial statements. Flip in a couple pages then to what's the financial section, and you'll get to a letter with our letterhead. Okay, it's headed up Independent Auditor's Report. Okay, and that is our report on your financial statement. And basically, that it states in there, again, your responsibilities for these financial statements, our responsibilities as your outside auditor, and that is to give you an opinion on these financial statements. And then you'll see on the second page of that report is the very first paragraph is our opinion. And as in the past, it's a clean and unqualified, or what's a clean opinion. Okay? If you flip over to page 4, management's discussion and analysis. Again, this is information for management here. And basically it gives a reader a narrative overview and analysis of the financial activities, you know, of the county for the year. I won't go through all of that, but that's basically what it's designed to do. So then let's flip to page 19. Page 19 is the statement of net position, or basically it's your balance sheet. It's the government-wide financial statement. It includes all of your capital assets. It includes all of your liabilities, you know, for your bond liabilities, your other post-employment benefit liability. So it takes a look at the financial position of the county more like, you know, you would see in a business financial statement. And just to look at the second to last column there, you can see, you know, total current assets of the county were about $150 million at the end of the fiscal year. Total long-term or non-current assets, which is all of your capital assets, plus some longer-term receivables, totaled $136 million at the end of the year. Down from that, you'll see total liabilities against those assets were about $26 million. And so you had net position, what's called net position, or your equity, assets minus your liabilities equals $260 million. Of that equity position, most of that, well, the very first line of that section, you'll see how much of that equity is tied up in capital assets. $124 million of that equity is tied up in capital assets. And then all of those next several lines is how much of that equity is restricted for, you know, because of outside laws, because of just external restrictions on those monies. And then you'll get to the last line of that section, which is your unrestricted equity of $32 million. You actually saw an increase in that in your total net position or your equity of about $8 million for the year. However, that unrestricted portion actually went down about $2 million, okay, during the year. The last column is what's called a component unit, and it basically gives the same information for the flood district. That's actually a separate entity, and so it's reported, you know, in a separate column there, the Madison County Flood District. If you flip to the next page, then this is the statement of activities, or, you know, what may be referred to as an income statement, you know, for the business world. You'll see in that second last column, it reflects the net expense of each of the activities that is really funded through your general revenues. Okay, so it looks at your total expenses minus, you know, the charges for service that they might have in each of those categories, grants that you receive in each of those categories, and it gets to that net expense. And if you, about right in the middle of the page, in that second to last column, if you add them all up, we had net expense of $51 million in those categories. That was funded by $59 million of general revenues, your taxes and your investment income. And so that nets to the $8 million increase I was talking about in your net position or your equity. All right. The next page then starts your fund financial statements. And so the very first column in that position is, this is the balance sheet for the fund financial statements, is your general fund. All right. There you'll see the general fund had assets at the end of the fiscal year of about $26.5 million. It had liabilities of about $2.3 million at the end of the year, and it had a fund balance of about $24.3 million at the end of the year. Some of that was restricted or committed. Most of that was unassigned and available for general expenses of the county. The last column in that then is the total of your governmental funds. You know, it includes that general fund. It includes all your special revenue funds, your debt service, your capital projects funds. All of those combined, you'll see at the end of the fiscal year, you know, assets were $142.6 million. Liabilities were about $9.5 million, and the fund balance, you know, assets minus liabilities, was about $133 million. Again, most of that 133, when you know, all of those special revenue funds are really, you know, you're talking about funds that are restricted or committed for special purposes. And so your unassigned fund balance there, you know, the amount that you had available for general expenses was about $21.9 million, you know, which is, you know, what you had in your general fund. Okay.
Anybody have any questions of Steve so far? If you do, I...
Yeah, right, stop me anytime. Yeah. I can
anytime.
Do that. If you flip a couple pages then to page 24.
I do. Can I just look like about some of the restricted funds?
Yes.
If you chose to use those, and I'm just hypothetical, but if you chose to use things like the jail expansion, for the legal library fund or something like that, to dedicate some of those. I realize is that open to interpretation or to some extent or?
Well, the restricted is usually from an external source, so you'd have to get to whatever document, you know, was generating that restriction.
Yeah.
You know, and probably get some interpretation from them, if, you know, depending on, I guess, whatever
I guess that's my question.
Yeah, it's an outside source. Okay?
So the outside sources could be statutes or grants.
Yep.
Grant
whatever grant document might say, if you receive that, those type of things. Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
There's actually... when you look at those, the restricted amounts, you know, are from an outside source. You'll see a column for committed amounts, okay? Now, the committed amounts are actually through board action here, okay?
Okay.
You know, through an ordinance, resolution, you know, motion made at the board level or whatever. And so, okay? Okay, so then back to page 24 then. This is the the changes throughout the year in your governmental funds, your revenue and expenses. And again, I'll just hit the first column there is your general fund. And you'll see the general fund revenues were just shy of $45 million for the year. And that was about what it was last year. Actually, there was a 0.2% decrease in the overall revenues in the general fund. So basically, you know, the same as what it was the last year. On the expenditure side, the total expenses in the general fund were $42.2 million. That was about a 1.8% increase when you look at them in total over the prior year. There were transfers out of the general fund to other funds of $3.2 million, and that was basically your $3 million transfer from the general fund to the capital projects fund for the year. And so, when you look at your total revenues minus those expenditures minus those transfers out, you saw a decrease in your general fund balance of just shy of $500,000. Okay. In total, the governmental funds, that last column, total revenues were $107.8 million, about a 0.8% increase when you look at things in total over the prior year. Your total expenditures were $102.2 million. Again, about a 0.8% increase, you know, very similar to the prior year. And then down in these special items that towards the bottom of that column, you'll see sale of property of $150,000. That was actually the sale of the county property on South Main. And I think it was a $750,000 deal that we received $150,000 in this current year here. And so when you look at things in total, the governmental funds saw a net increase of $5,757,000 in total. All right. Then the next, if you go to page 27, I won't go through all of these, but these are pages 27 through 31 are each of your what's called your major funds. And it's a comparison of the budget to actual, you know, when you look at, you know, the budgets that were passed and the act for the funds that actually had budgets or whatever. So that goes on from page 27 through 31 if you want to look at where we ended up as compared to the budget. But I'll jump to page 32. The two columns here represent your enterprise fund, which is your sewer fund, and then the total of your internal service funds, which is your tort judgment and liability fund and your three health benefit funds, you know, the combination of all of those. So the first column, the enterprise fund, again, their total assets in that fund at the end of the year were $23.6 million. 19.5 of that is capital type thing, you know, capital assets. $4 million of it is actually your cash and investments and receivables. You had total liabilities at the end of the year of $665,000 or $666,000, and you netted down to equity or net position of $22.9 million when you look at where that fund stood. On the internal service side, total assets of all of those funds were $12.3 million. You know, most of that's cash and investments. You had liabilities of $2.2 million and total equity in all of those funds combined of a little over $10 million. And if you flip to the next page, page 33, which is your change in funds during, you know, change in net position during the year or your income statement. If you go down to the third last line, change in net position, you know, the enterprise fund saw an increase in the year of $329,000, and the internal service fund saw a decrease of $1.2 million. Most of that decrease, basically all of it, was in the health benefit fund. The other funds, the tort judgment and liability, saw about a $350,000 increase in the fund balance. And so the health benefit, though, had a decrease of about $1.2 million. Okay? After that, starting on page 36, and goes on to page 68 of this booklet. That's what is the footnotes and required supplementary information. Just gives you, you know, it explains or gives additional information about some of the numbers that, you know, are in the balance sheets and income statements or in the financial statements. I won't go through any of those. Pages 69 and through 132 of this booklet is just additional supplementary and combining schedules. Basically, it's going to list all of your special revenue funds, all of your internal service funds, and gives you more detail of what's combined up into those financial statements we went through. And then pages 133 to 157 is some statistical information, gives you some 10-year history on some of the statistical information in regard to the county. Again, I'll get into that. So that's flipping through pretty quick, you know, what's all included in this document. I will tell you, along with this, the audit, you know, of the financial statements here, we also did what's called a single audit, which is really taking a look at your schedule of federal awards. And we give there's a report or opinion we give on the compliance and internal controls over those federal programs and financial reporting process. And both of those were clean reports also, as they have been in the past. And then in that report also, there's a schedule of all of your federal awards, and it totals about $16 million. Okay? So I don't have a copy of that here. I just wanted to let you know that's all part of this process. After that, then, they're also, I assume these were both laid out there, right? Mm-hmm. There's two letters that were also part of all of this. One is just some required communications, and I'll just go through, I'll touch on a few of those, and then I'll let you just read the rest of them. But it's basically the letter that looks like this, if you have that in front of you. And the first part of, you know, the first section of that just discusses the new accounting policies and some significant estimates that are made and included in your financial statements. The next section is headed up difficulties encountered in performing the audit. It says we had none. Okay. The next section is corrected and uncorrected misstatements. And I'll tell you, basically what it says there is all the adjustments that we had proposed as part of this process, you know, were agreed to and were made, okay? And then the next section is headed up disagreements with management and says we had none. Okay, I'll let you kind of read through the rest of those, but I wanted to at least point out those. The other letter is what's called our management letter. Two things on that. One talked about the vacation carryover policy. This has been in there in all the previous years, and I just wanted to give you the history there. Nothing really new or different there from the prior year, other than we saw a slight decrease in that, which is good. We made some progress on that. The second comment is in regard to the sewer fund accounts receivable, and I guess our concerns there were that we have just seen some increases in the accounts receivable related to the sewer fund in the category of greater than 90 days, you know. I'll let you read through the response there, you know, because we were suggesting, you know, increased monitoring, collection procedures, you know, just trying to make sure that that was happening. And there's you know, very lengthy response there. But basically what it tells you when you read through that is, one, they agree with our, you know, the issue we brought up. They talk about the process that they do have. I think it says in there, since June 1 of 2015, they've filed 100 liens. Okay, so I think as we were talking about this, they've already started some of these improvements. It talks about, it describes two additional options that they've even discussed in this process and haven't gone with yet, but you can read what those were. And then it even says we're aggressively looking into, they mentioned three different accounts that they're aggressively pursuing or whatever. So you can read through all of that, but we wanted to bring that to, you know, your attention there.
Steve, was that about the only bases of concern that you have?
Yes. Those were the... Okay. Yeah.
Otherwise, everything is...
Everything else, clean. As in the past.
I just want to point out, Carol from the special service area is here. She had worked with our office in Shuffle to prepare the response to the management letter comment. So if you had any additional questions regarding the response, Carol was available.
Yeah. Rick?
Mr. Chairman, I've got two questions that I want to ask. In your professional opinion... Do you think this county is well managed?
I would say yes. You know, obviously we have limited knowledge of all of the details. You know, we're engaged to give you an opinion on the financial statements, but we do gain, knowledge of at least the material areas, and yes, we would say it absolutely is well managed.
Okay, second question. Would you consider us to have an excess of funds in our general fund?
The general fund, I pointed out, I think, had unassigned fund balance of, I think it was a little over $21 million, and that actually represented about 53% of 1 year's operating expenses. I think your own internal policy says we should have 33%, as a cushion. Mm-hmm. And so, you're over that, but in these times, I don't think that's an excessive amount. It actually has decreased over the last couple of years. It 2 years ago, I guess it was 57%.
It was,
and
yeah.
And it has kind of decreased the last couple of years. So I would say no, it's not excessive.
And I would think that in this environment that we're in now, with cuts statewide and the question about funding coming in, that we pretty much are healthy, and that's a position that's a strong fiscal position.
I believe so, yes. Yeah.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, sure.
Do you do audits for other counties within?
Yes, we do.
In your opinion, have you... seeing what other counties do for their fund balance, for their general fund, is it 33% less or more?
I'd have to actually go back and look. Off the top of my head, I can't quote you any of...
No.
I can certainly get you that information, though, if they're all using... I think 33, I would say, is a norm. But I need to double check.
Our financial policy is a minimum of 33% up to 50%. We're above that. We're trying to bring it down. It's hard to control. It's a moving number. That number goes up at the end of the year if people don't spend their budgets, and that's what normally happens. That's what adds to the fund balance. So we're making an attempt to slide that down. As you may recall, we didn't levy any new taxes last year. We actually dropped our tax levy. There's a chance we might be doing that. So it's something we are trying to slide down below, at least below that 50% level, maybe more than that.
But I would really like that information just to see what the other counties do and see what their policy and procedure is from your experience. If you wouldn't mind.
I've got a question for you, too.
Sure.
I know you're going to be here today, we just settled this case, and Kirk just reported that we just settled the civil litigation with Stern AG. I guess you're aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
So as an auditor, this is something that's bothered me, and maybe it shouldn't. We spent over a 10-year period, we purchased $500 million worth of bonds with one broker. In 1 year, I think it was $125 million worth of bonds. It was an exclusive relationship, apparently, with one broker. As an auditor, does that concern you? Should it concern you? Should it concern me as a county board member?
I guess you're always looking for, some sort of diversification. So it depends on, I don't really have a good answer at this point for that. But in general terms, you would be looking for diversification, whether in the type of investments, maybe who you're working with.
Can I answer that, Mr. Chairman?
Sure.
I would say as a public official, you should look at what the return on the investment is. And the return on the investment was outstanding. Okay? Now, just as a general response to what you're saying, if you went back and you looked at those bond sales, and, you know, there was a red flag there in the beginning, and I called it to people's attention. But the fact of the matter is, Tom, those investments were all called in 15 months. And the county stood to make a lot of money on this if they'd have let it go to term. And term turned out to be 15 months. We didn't know that, you know. And speaking to the people that made the investments, they were, you know, adamant about it wasn't going to go anywhere near the time span that the investment was out to. So the county, as far as that goes, and I think you're going to have some other professionals say that, the investment was not junk bonds or anything. They were AAA rated bonds that were called in 15 months. And I believe when they went back out of the market, they were purchased in 15 to 20 minutes. So
my point is, Rick, though,
yeah,
and I hear what you're saying, and I know, you know, whether or not they should have been sold. I'm not trying to debate that.
Yeah.
The red flag to me, having, you know, had a handful of accounting classes, I'm not an auditor.
Yeah.
Is that an exclusive relationship? And usually, and maybe I'm wrong. I know, and like I said, but we could buy those same AAA bonds from the Bank of Edwardsville. We kept buying from the same person, and at least the accusation was we were paying excessive commissions and things like that. And my question is why?
Well,
paying more than we should have. Then that cost. We just raised fees $500,000 last year. We didn't, you know, and to increase our revenues, I guess.
One thing that we
paid more than we should have in these.
Well, I believe
that's a big red flag.
In response to that, I believe that there was a settlement, and in the settlement, there was an agreement. There was no wrongdoing. Now, again, I'd have to look at the settlement to see that.
Well, wrongdoing may mean
anything illegal. Illegal.
Yeah, right. That's right.
And I'm so sorry. What does this have to? I'm missing the boat here. What does this have to do with this today?
Well, I'm asking our auditor. I mean, okay. I didn't know he was, but I mean, it is something that I think we.
But it's currently not in this, right?
Okay. Well, then we can take.
No, I'm really asking. I'm honestly.
I'm asking our auditor because we have an outside auditor that's here today. I was asking his professional opinion because I'm trying to decide.
Well, apparently he doesn't have an outside opinion.
Well, yeah,
he gave his professional opinion. His professional opinion is two things: one, the county is well managed, and second, we don't have an excess of funds.
Okay. Steve, do you have anything else?
I really just wanted to do was thank Rick, Jennifer, Dana, and their office. I mean, I think we have a good, you know.
Relationship.
Yeah, we have a good relationship, and naturally we'd like to see that continue or whatever. But we'll thank them for all their help during the process.
Well, I'd like to thank you for, I think, a very good job with my limited amount of knowledge of accounting. But anyway, is that all you have, Steve?
That's all I have.
Okay, well, let's move on, Joe.
And just before we move on, I just have one comment. You know, we've had a lot of discussion and debate regarding past investments and current investments with the current treasurer. The committee and the board did authorize an analysis be done and some best management practices and things like that that address these types of issues and concerns, you know, that have been brought up. Some of them are valid and everything. That report is working its way to conclusion, and we'll be bringing something forward on that at some point. But
do you know when?
Well, we have a draft report, but we're still talking about it internally.
Okay.
But it's basically just talks. It makes suggestions on the best way to do things to avoid situations like that and concerns. That's what the intent of the study was, to bring in a professional firm with expertise in this area to make recommendations to us and take it out of the arena that we've been discussing it in.
Very good. Okay.
Okay.
Move on to purchasing approvals.
Under purchasing approvals, the first one is with the auditor's office. It's their annual maintenance renewal with USL Financials. This is their software that runs their accounting system in their office.
Any questions? Rich here for them questions. Or Jennifer one.
with community development, the weatherization program would like to hire a firm to do training for their weatherization employees. Dave Goodrich is here, runs the weatherization program. Anybody like this explain?
Any questions?
In the past, I think we've always gone with union training. Is that still the norm on this?
Dave, we might explain what this is.
It's through SWCC, it's through our Celsius program.
It's
a specialized training. You have to be proctored and everything, and it's all hands-on. So SWCC is the only one in the area that can do it.
Got it.
In the future, my guys have 3 more classes to take. This just gets the first stage done.
Okay.
Now, the carpenters that we hire for the weatherization program, they all go through the apprentice programs with the carpenters local.
I confused that. Sorry.
Okay. County clerk has 2 purchases. The first one is printing voter ID stock, and the second one is their annual software maintenance for something called Election Data Manager software.
Chairman, the Election Data Management software is early voting. It's the software that runs our Ballotar early voting system. The $13,821 that you see is per election. But I would ask the committee to remember that 2 years ago, this was $82,000. And we're at $26,000 a year now, or per election, 2 a year. So I would like, please, for you to keep that in mind, that we've tremendously reduced the cost of early voting in Madison County. And the second one is a purchase for stock for the statutory required voter registration purge. For 2016, I will be sending out everyone a voter registration card. We've also, which is required by law, but I did want to bring to the attention of the committee that we applied for and received a HAVA grant, which paid for the postage and the stock of the voter registration purge of $54,000.
Oh, okay.
And I have a copy of the check if y'all like to see that.
Very good. Any questions, Deb?
Good work, Debbie.
Thank you.
With facilities management, there's 3 purchases. 2 of them are related to air conditioning. One is we had an emergency repair for this facility that happened that limited our cooling for about a week. Things are pretty miserable around here. The other HVAC is for 3 rooftop units at the Wood River facility. And then the third purchasing proposal is with it's for our HVAC over at the courthouse, which we want to rehabilitate. And we went out for interviews with engineers basically to do that work, and William Tile and Associates is the recommended engineer. What they're proposing to do is to do a kind of a first level assessment and come up with a plan of what needs to be done, and then that would lead into a more detailed design agreement. So
that's for the jail, right?
That's for the courthouse.
Courthouse, okay.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Right. And Kirk's here to fill in any blanks or to.
Anybody got any questions to Kirk?
Okay, moving on with
keep
the health.
Cool, Kirk.
The health department, there's some promotional items in this agreement. Tony, would you mind explaining what you guys are doing?
It's utilizing appropriated funding through the Illinois Breast and Cervical Cancer Grant. They carved out a little bit of money for us to be able to offer incentives for the clients, as well as working with our providers and things like that.
Tony, I noticed on the bids that the local companies didn't, it said no quote. They didn't turn one in, or they didn't qualify for some sort of training. Oh, no, that's okay. We're going with a company out of Wisconsin, it looks like. The only other bid
is Newark. Sometimes on those promotional issues,
it's
a more specialized thing than our local printers do, and we run into that.
Got it. So, but they didn't bid.
They rent on clips or something like that.
Oh, it's promotional product, and these are paper printers.
Yeah.
I gotcha. Okay. I'm glad to see we offered a bid at least anyway.
Absolutely.
Moving on, planning and development would like to replace one of their vehicles, and they're proposing under state contract to purchase a pickup truck, a super cab pickup truck. Matt's here if there's any questions.
Any questions?
Yeah, this is state contract, but it came out of Hillsboro. Is that normally where we're purchasing from now, state contract?
It is. Read a state contract.
Yeah. I just wasn't sure if that was the same as normal. It looked different. Mm-hmm.
I think there's various ones based on
there's
the vehicle.
There's a couple different four dealers if you're dealing with them. One's up in Greenfield.
I think that was the one we normally.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you'll see something come up later.
I'll see. Okay.
Joe, did you skip the sheriff?
Nope. I'm jump to those right now. The Sheriff's Department, it looks like the equipment we previously authorized, that there were some modifications and there's a new dollar amount for that.
Yeah, what was the previous number? It went up how much?
It went up $4,748.
And what was that due to?
That's strictly out of the Fort Security budget. Covered two additional cars and one bunch of vehicles.
Okay.
Ordered previously.
So it's not additional equipment or changes to the equipment. It's two additional units.
It's for the two replacement vehicles that were authorized under the Fort Security budget.
Right. Okay.
Because of the same vendor and the same proximity of time, it was felt the best to come back for a revision on the original amount.
Okay.
The original was for the 10 replacement vehicles purchased out of Capital Outlay.
Great. Thanks. Okay.
And then lastly, also with the Sheriff's Department, they would like to purchase some taser-related equipment. And, Eric, is this just, you get old stuff goes out of warranty and you have to replace it? Or
No, this is actually going to provide additional equipment for the officers who are assigned to the Court Security and Administration Building. Previously, there were only a limited number of tasers that were assigned in the building. This would provide additional tasers so that each person working in this area will have that much of a legal option. So they'll all be assigned to the building.
Is that it, Joe?
That's it.
Any further discussion? Not we'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Second.
You got a motion and a second. No further discussion. Kelly?
Aye.
Doc?
Aye.
Bill?
Aye.
Jamie?
Aye.
And Larry?
Aye.
Okay, moving on to resolutions. The first resolution is with the circuit clerk. It's for the purchase of the DigiTicket electronic ticket solution. And Mr. Bonato would like to address the committee.
Mr. Chairman, I'm here.
Oh, yes. There you are.
That's not a.
Not by a long mark. To get to this place, it's been a long road, but we have been approved by the Illinois Supreme Court to pursue this. It's DigiTicket, or e-citation is just as it sounds, is that when a police officer pulls somebody over, instead of getting out a pad and looking up the information on the computer and then writing it on the three-part piece of paper, and, of course, it going through two different clerks and going through, that this actually is software that will provide for information to come from the computer directly to a printer where it prints out the ticket for the individual. Then it's automatically wired to not only the police station, but to the circuit clerk's office. So vast amounts of savings. Now, why is this important? Well, you know, for the police officer, in terms of safety, it cuts the average time that the that a stop takes from 15 minutes to less than 5 minutes. Now, that's 15 minutes. I think I just saw it this morning. There was a video of a police officer that was on the side of the road helping somebody that had crashed, and here comes another car sliding in the rain, and the police officer went flying. Well, it sounds crazy, but it is one of the most dangerous things that our officers do is on the side of the road in a traffic stop. So this cuts down the amount of time that person is on that traffic stop, a small thing, but an important thing. But also for the, for the citizen, who's getting you don't want to get a ticket, but at least could happen is
you can read it.
You could be inconvenience less. I'm already late for work, and now I've got to sit here for 15 minutes. So, it's just something. It's something that I think probably the average citizen would say, I mean, I can't believe they're not doing this already. But yeah. It's much more detailed and technical than it sounds. But we're on the cusp of doing this, and the first project will be with the Sheriff's Department. This is inclusive for the software that does it, and then it also includes some of the equipment that the Sheriff's Department is going to need. We've been collecting for 3 years. We've been collecting a fee with every traffic ticket, and this money has been going into a fund. So, again, this is not something that's going to cost the general fund. It is one of those restricted funds that we can't really spend it on anything other than this. So,
will this be transferred to cities and so forth?
Yes. And what I'm working with the police departments on is that as we move through our other police departments, they'll be responsible for their portion of the fee. We'll pay for the equipment. Our portion of the fee will pay for the software. So, again, the payoff is just on the back end of this. Just think that this little handwritten copy goes off to the police department where they put it into their report management system, and it comes to the court where they put it in, where a clerk has to type it all into the court management system. This will be flowing in there. It just kind of eliminates that double entry that has to happen everywhere. So a huge savings.
Does it eliminate a job?
Well, frankly, no, not immediately. But what will actually happen is that it allows us to do more with less, and what I would see is a redeployment of personnel to you know, basically provide better service to people. And then if through attrition we can get by with less, we will. Okay?
Will we be maintaining this through our IT department, or is this...
Actually, it is going to be hosted. We have been working with the IT department all along on this, and it's one of the ideal situations is that we've kind of merged into the IT department, so that my people who work for the Automation Fund are actually working with the IT folks, and that has been very beneficial because we've got the expertise of the IT department and they've got the expertise of my people. This will be hosted in the cloud.
Okay.
It's a outside hosted, so we won't be buying servers and that. Good. And that's kind of where we're going for it.
But, well, I was actually thinking if this eliminates a job, it might end up adding one in IT if if we need to have maintenance on this constantly.
When we worked with IT, we've kind of worked through some cost sharing issues, and we're still working through some of those.
Okay.
But every opportunity we can to provide a nice synergistic balance between the court house system and the administration system, we're doing that right now.
Okay.
It's kind of been a new experience,
right,
as far as that goes, and it's been very beneficial for both of us and the judiciary. So,
sure.
I'm excited about this. This is going to be big.
Thank you, Mark.
Is this $49,000? Is that like a unit for every police officer to carry with him? You know, to put the information in and. And then is there a software?
A large chunk of it is software. One of the things that we do have to pay for is an integration into the court management system and to the and into the report management system for the Sheriff's Department. So, and what I mean by integration is just that. It's that the information that's developed on the ticket will flow right into right into our computer system, so that, you know, when we're processing and setting it on a docket, all those things will all be there instead of somebody having to type it all in.
So will there be additional contract for services to do this integration? We're going to see an additional amount, or is that rolled in here?
No, that is included in here. What we'll be seeing is as new departments come online, we'll be coming back and we'll have a license for every seat. Basically, we'll be using the computers that are already in the squad cars now. The squad cars have computers that they look up in the lead system. They look up information on the driver. So that information already is there, but we need an interface. Computer speak for the computer has to be able to talk to more than one system. So we need a translator, a computer translator program, and that's what this does.
Are all the cities equipped with computers in their cars at this point?
I can't speak for some of the real small ones, but I think even the railroad police have these. They do have, and it's not handheld, so it's what's going to require is having a printer in the vehicle that is hooked up with the computer that's already in there. So there is some additional equipment, but they'll actually use a little scan gun like you see at the grocery store, that they'll be able to scan if it scan the person's driver's license, and in the future be able to scan the registration of the vehicle to just get that information instead of having to type it all out and that's one of the reasons it cuts down the amount of time that the police officers standing on the side of the road or having to keep their car stopped.
Eventually, they just keep my credit card on file, and I'll just say, yeah, I'll charge it. You sign on the iPad. Yep, you got me again.
That was one of the very first things that I was able to get done in the circuit clerk's office is we got approved for e-pay, which e-pay does allow you to pay your traffic tickets online with your credit card. So that was
that, super handy. Thank you.
That's available, we set up a special website to that. It's the number two, paymyticket.com. Topaymyticket.com was the website, but people who are like Kelly that want to, the convenience of being able to pay their ticket online are able to do that now for the past couple of years, and that's kind of one of the important components of it.
Yeah, can we move on?
I'm sorry, you got me talking again.
Okay. We don't have equal time for these other elected office holders.
Jamie's going to listen to it again at the Judiciary Committee.
Weatherization, again, has a contract. This is to award bids for their HVAC contractor. Dave's here to answer any questions, if you have any. The next one is our professional services agreement for the work over at the jail with AAIC. We're actually not considering this today. The chairman asked for this to be held one more month. We held it over the last 2 months to make sure board members had all the information that they were seeking. There has been some additional information that's been given out in the past couple weeks. In front of you all is a detailed listing of the work that's being proposed, and it actually has dollar amounts next to descriptive items. So it's just there for your information. This is what we've provided to other committees too. So we'll bring this back up next month. If there's any other questions or any other issues, we'd be happy to sit down. We're reaching out, trying to answer all questions before we move this project forward. Moving on with the next one is also being pulled. It was considered at the IT committee this morning, and they asked for it to be tabled, so we're not going to consider it until they act on it. The two after that are both with the Sheriff's Department. The first one is our intergovernmental agreement with the Triad Community School District to provide an officer to patrol. This is actually increasing the number from one to two, and also I think it's extending the term to two with an additional third-year option, mm-hmm. Correct?
Three with an additional option after that.
Three with an additional option. Triad reimburses us 100% of the cost of the patrol that we
they
provide.
They have been so pleased with having an officer at their high school. That now this is for the middle school. That would be really great.
And then the second one is the annual software renewal for StarCom 21 radio system. That's the radio system that the sheriff's office operates. It's a statewide system. and the contract is with Motorola. If any questions about that, Eric can answer them.
Any questions?
With Special Service Area Number 1, they have a revised resolution. We already approved to purchase these two vehicles, but we listed the wrong vendor on there. As Barry explained before, there's different vendors around the state that work under the same state contract. The correct one should be right, so that's the only change that's being made here. I also have the change order construction contracts for the Southwestern Illinois Flood Prevention District. These are change orders in the Prairie du Pont Levee District. I think in your packet was a description of them. If there's any questions, I could dig into that and explain them. And then also I had also listed on the agenda is a settlement agreement with Global Brass. If you recall, there was a settlement agreement over an assessment matter with Olin a while back. Well, one of the parcels during the middle of this dispute was sold to Global Brass. So the previous settlement agreement with Olin didn't address one parcel from tax years 2008 forward. The taxing districts have now reached a settlement with Global Brass that not only will deal with the appeals that are pending at the state level from 2008 to present, but also set the assessment for a handful of years into the future. So that's what the settlement agreement addresses.
Okay.
Doesn't impact county government that much. The school districts are mostly impacted.
Very good. Okay, is that it?
Those are all the resolutions.
I guess we need a motion and include deleting B and C. Okay.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Doc. Second by Kelly. Any further discussion? Kelly?
Aye.
Aye.
Bill?
Aye.
Jamie?
Aye.
And Larry?
Aye.
Rick?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Number of refunds. The first one is from the Special Service Area. Payable to an individual in the amount of $32.40. This is due from an overpayment. Just bring them all in at once,
please,
Mr. Chairman.
Please do that.
Second one is a check from the Special Service Area payable in the amount of $32.40 to an individual. This is due to an overpayment. And then we have several refunds, one for $10 from the Animal Control Fund. The amount is for an overpayment on a registration. Next one is for four checks from the Animal Control to several names listed on the following page with the amount of $75 total for the refunds for an overpayment on registration. And I move for your approval on the refunds, Mr. Chairman.
You have a motion?
So moved.
Motion. Get a second.
Second.
Second by Jamie. Any further discussions? Any questions or Rick on the refunds? Kelly?
Aye.
Aye.
Bill?
Aye.
Jamie?
Aye.
And Larry?
Aye.
Thank you.
And you have for your approval the second quarter budget variation report. Mm-hmm. There's no motel tax reconciliation report for this month. And I submit the summary reports of claims and transfers for your approval, Mr. Chairman. That's all I have.
Get a motion?
So moved.
Get a second?
Second.
Kelly?
Aye.
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 Jamie?
Aye.
And Larry?
Aye.
Okay. Okay. Immediate emergency appropriation. Oh, that includes you, Rick, right?
That was pulled.
Okay.
That was pulled.
Okay. Very good. We got claims and transfers.
Yeah, claims and transfer report is submitted for
the
committee's approval.
Safety and insurance.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'd like to first introduce Brian Matthews, who's our account executive, who's here today.
Hello, Brian.
Diamond Brothers Insurance in Grant City, who assisted us with our process of putting together our excess liability, property, and earthquake insurance renewal for this year, which is effective July 22nd. So the resolution I have in front of you is for the purchase of the excess liability property and earthquake insurance coverage. Ryan did go out received quotes from some other carriers. We did not receive any other competitive bids this year. So I've included a couple of spreadsheets for your that compares last year's quotes to this year's quotes. I'm happy to say that our increase is only about 3% from last year, so which is compared to other years, is great. So excess liability will stay with State's Risk Retention Group for a total premium of $210,784. Again, we have a self-insured retention of $1 million, and then the excess coverage up to $10 million with that excess coverage. So we're self-insured for the first $1 million. The property, there's no changes.
I'm sorry, what does the 3% translate to as far as dollar amount?
This is just the difference between the total down at the bottom. So
14,432.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
I figured it up. I'm sorry.
No. That's okay. Right. I can do that.
We can do that.
Just the difference between the two dollar numbers at the bottom.
Okay.
I'm sorry. With our property, there is no change in our deductibles this year. We're staying with Hartford Insurance. And that total premium is $132,522. Our total insurable values is now up to $194,780,684. So our total, and then our excess earthquake, which we get $5 million of earthquake coverage with a Hartford policy that's included. We have to purchase, and that's on the second sheet that I provided to you, we have to purchase additional coverage of $30 million and $15 million from two other carriers, which brings our total coverage to $50 million with a $50,000 deductible per occurrence, and that total premium is $88,929. So overall, our package that we're asking for approval on is $432,235 for the one-year period commencing on July 22nd of 2015 with the carriers that I mentioned. We also would like to continue our contract with Claims Management Incorporated, or Nixon & Company, in St. Louis that provides modified claims adjusting services to us at a monthly fee of $725. They also do Medicare Section 111 mandatory reporting for us on a yearly basis of $1,000, and that would be for a two-year period, actually commencing on July 22nd of 2015 through July 22nd of 2017.
Any questions of Annette?
When does this go into effect, Annette?
July 22nd.
July 22nd?
This month.
Okay. You got a card?
Okay.
Thanks.
All right. Any other questions?
No other questions. We'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Doc. Second by Kelly. No further discussion. Kelly?
Aye.
Doc?
Aye.
Bill?
Aye.
Amy?
Aye.
Larry?
Aye.
Is that all you have, Annette?
That's all I have.
Thank you very much. Is there any other business to come before this committee this morning?
I would like to ask Mr. Frenzler a quick question. Kurt, now that this settlement has been brought in, can we expect with the money that we spent with the attorneys that you had to give any kind of report as to what their thoughts to why the money was settled on, or what they thought about the situation?
We could see if we could get that.
Okay, very good. And just a quick comment from Mr. Fasson. Just because a county, not necessarily Madison County, hypothetically, just because a county isn't deficit spending, does it necessarily mean that they may not be overspending?
Well, I think that question's answered, Mick, and that's why I asked the question to the outside auditors, is, you know, in your mind, is a county well managed? Yes. Do we have an excess of funds? No. Given the environment that we're in, and money's, you know, there's rumors of the governor taking money from this fund, that fund, we're in good fiscal position. As the chairman has said on many occasions, we're the envy of counties in this state. When you say overspending in what regard?
I mean just spending more money than absolutely necessary in a lot of areas. And I do see a lot of things that I don't think are necessary. I know a lot of people come to me with those same complaints.
Well, then you need to go to whoever spent them.
And we may be well managed as far as we're not deficit spending, but I wanted to make the comment that that's not the end-all be-all, too.
Well, let's hear what, why don't you bring us to Joe or some of us, and let's make the accusation of where we're overspending.
I would love to do that.
Okay, let's have at it.
Chairman, I have that total for you. I'm sorry you didn't have a doubt. It's $13,521.
I figured it. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay, is any other business to come before this committee?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Got a motion and a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We're adjourned.